We are very honored to have Glenn Hager here as our keynote speaker today. Glenn was elected in 2014 as Texas Comptroller, and he serves as the treasurer, the check writer, tax collector, procurement officer, and revenue estimator for the state of Texas. He is a sixth-generation Texan who grew up farming land that has been in his family since the mid-1800s. Before becoming comptroller, Hager served in the Texas House of Representatives and also the Texas Senate. He served as chair of the Sunset Advisory Commission, which works to eliminate inefficiency in government agencies. Hager attended Texas A&M University, where he earned a Bachelor of Arts degree. He also attended St. Mary's University, earning a Master's of Arts in his law degree at the University of Arkansas, where he earned a Master of Law degree. Glenn and his wife, Dara, have three young children, Julia, Jonah, and Claire. Please help me welcome Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager.
Thank you, David, for that kind introduction, and I only have one exception with that introduction. Did you really have to tell everybody that I'm the tax collector? Now I've got to figure out how to get through you and get out of here. If any of you had wondered earlier when I'd walked in while you were getting lunch, if any of you saw me looking under the table skirts there, had wondered what in the world is this guy who's supposed to be our speaker doing? It's because one thing that you didn't hear in the bio is, on my mom's side, my grandfather was a Baptist preacher, and so I grew up listening to his sermons, and every time I hear someone tell people how I'm the tax collector, I'm reminded of those sermons in the New Testament where they stone the tax collector. So I have made it a habit of every time I go to give a speech, make sure there's not a bucket of stones or a bucket of rocks or some tomatoes underneath, because who in the world likes the tax collector? You know, we all in this room have three things in common. We're born, we die, and unfortunately, what do we do in between? Pay taxes. And nobody likes that guy, but that's me. But no, I tell everybody, yes, of course I am in this capacity as the Comptroller of Public Accounts. I'm blessed to serve in this capacity. I'm now the 36th Comptroller of Public Accounts. You go all the way back to the days of Washington on the Brazos when Texas was declaring its independence. First Comptroller of Public Accounts was appointed back then, not elected, because there wasn't a state to have an election in. In fact, the controllers, they didn't last very long, in part because we didn't have any money. It was just land, and that was it. And then I'll tell you, there's a couple of individuals over the course of the time that's been in this capacity. We've had a few, I know this is shocking to you here in Texas, to have a few colorful politicians serve in some capacity. We had one several decades ago that he forgot that his bank account was not the people's bank account. So that didn't work out too well. We had one, Robert Love. When I got in this position, just in case you know, after law school, I went back to work with the family. We have a farm, equipment dealership, grain elevator. So I was working in the family businesses, and I've done some hiring and firing. And I had told my number two, when I was coming in this position, the deputy controller, who's also elected, the gentleman that I had appointed who had been in this office working in various capacities and pretty much all over the agency in his almost 30-year career in the controller's office, and asked him to be my number two, and he's actually sworn into office constitutionally like I am. And so I had told Mike, he said, is there anything in particular that you don't want to do that you solely want me to handle? And I said, yeah, I want you to do the firing. And he said, what? And I said, no, I want to go talk to the new auditors, the new people. I want to, you know, you're to go talk to them. I want to go talk to them, all the new employees that we have. I said, but the employees we're getting rid of, I said, I need you to fire them. He goes, okay, Glenn, I understand. That's part of it. Rolls downhill. I'm the number two. And I said, well, I've hired and fired people. I said, I just don't think that I should do it based on track record in this office. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't know if you remember. And in 1902, Robert Love, who was one of my predecessors, he decided that he needed to fire an employee. Robert Love, he fired that employee. Well, as you can imagine, the employee didn't want to be fired, so the employee took out his or her gun and shot Robert Love and killed Robert Love. So then there was a struggle between the employee and another employee, and then that employee got shot and was killed too. And so I figured for safety purposes, I'm not going to fire anybody. So now we'll talk about the economy here in Texas, a little bit about the economy in this economic region, this 20 economic region, 20 counties here in central portion of Texas, and then also talk about the Bryan College Station MSA and the economic activity here. If you look at my office, we have three constitutional duties. We have a lot of responsibilities the legislature gives us over time, 2,800 plus employees, 25 divisions. However, there's three main things that we focus on. One, as I mentioned earlier, is obviously the tax collection, the revenues into the state treasury. Number two is the finance treasury section for the state of Texas. So we process every single payment. Some people ask me, Glenn, what do you do? And I say, I run a small accounting shop. And they go, well, how small is that accounting shop? And I said, it's only $105 billion a year, which is your state budget. We make sure all the payments get made and post-payment audit to make sure that the agencies are spending the money where they should be spending. And then also, we are lastly, but not necessarily in any particular order, the day before a legislative session, and as you know, the state legislature meets every other year in Texas, which is pretty phenomenal. Think about it. Texas is the second most populous state in the nation, the second largest geography in the nation, yet unlike our neighbors in Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico, our bordering states, unlike almost every state in the nation, with the exception of about five, Texas still meets legislatively every other year. For 140 days, the only thing the legislature has to do is pass a state budget. I went and testified before Senate Finance because the day before session, the second Monday of January, per the Constitution, I am supposed to give an estimate of how much money will come into your state treasury. So your state legislature, unlike D.C., unlike some other states, has to have a balanced budget. We have to live within our means. So there's two constitutional constraints. Number one is what was the last budget times population inflation and personal income growth, so personal income of the citizens of the state, and government cannot grow any larger than your personal income and personal population inflation. So that's constraint one, and constraint two is how much money is going to come in the state treasury. So somebody has to tell them how much money will come in, and again, that's the controller, the guy that brings in the money, pays the bills. So here's a quick question for you. Is there anyone in this room, and don't blurt out the number, just keep it in your own mind to keep it real simple. I won't ask you about business, but just in your personal household, is there anyone with 100% accuracy can estimate how much money will come into your personal household for the next 2 years? But wait, let's add on another twist. Can anyone with 100% accuracy estimate how much money will come into your personal household starting for 2 years, but not starting until 9 months later? So let's start September 1 and then go 2 years after that. Anyone in the room? I'm looking around. Hands, no? Well, the reason I ask you that question is that's what we do. We do that times 13 million people in the state. We do that for an economy that's $1.6 trillion economy. I was joking when I testified before Senate Finance. I said, yes, my revenue estimator, Tom Curra, who's sitting here, this is a difficult task that he has, and look at him. He's lost all his hair over it already. Now, Tom didn't appreciate me making that comment, but, you know, the fact is they kind of chuckled, and just making the point that it is a very large, diverse economy and the difficulty. So I testified. I'm over talking to the membership quite a bit. And if you look at the state, what's happened here in the last several years? Let's see, back in the 1980s, we had an oil bust. Texas economy significantly contracted. Legislature didn't know what to do. How were they going to pay the bills? That time, they decided to create a state's economic stabilization fund. You, as the voters, approved a constitutional amendment. We're going to create a state savings account. That state savings account was funded off what? Oil and gas severance tax. But hold on, wait. In the 1980s, we had an oil bust. So there was no money coming in from oil and gas severance tax. So for the first 10 years, it had hardly no money put into it. And then all of a sudden you get into 2004, 2005, 2006, and ironically, you keep hearing announcements almost every week of major companies that are making very large purchases. This little place called the Permian Basin, a lot of activity going out there, buying billions of dollars worth of rights to be able to drill from other people that have them. And every time I see one of those, I kind of chuckle because a lot of the companies that are buying them, they sold them all in the 1980s because they said there was no more oil. Well, things have changed a little bit with technology and capability. So Texas is blessed. If you compare us to other energy states, let's say Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico, North Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Alaska. If you look at those states in the last few years when we've had the downturn in the oil price, those states, all but two of them, are still negative job creation. They have still lost more jobs than they've created. Now, Texas, think about this, is an amazing number, unfortunately, and it may not be so much here in Central Texas and or the Bryan College Station MSA, but in Texas, in the oil industry alone, which was one of the largest contributors to our gross state product, equal to manufacturing, equal to the finance sector, which includes banking, insurance, real estate, that sector, all three of those are three of our largest contributors to the gross state product here in Texas. Two of those, the mining, lost 100,000 jobs during the downturn. Manufacturing lost 60,000 jobs in the downturn. So what happened everywhere else in Texas with the supposed large, diverse economy? In fact, the diverse economy has created jobs every month for the last 21 months, all but 1 month. In fact, in the last 12 months, Texas has created 210,000 jobs, which is pretty phenomenal and very different than those other states because of the diversity. As I drove in for Austin, and thank you for getting me out of Austin today. As an Aggie, I was really glad to get out of Austin. As I was driving through, all the cranes that are put up here in the local community is pretty phenomenal. And as I was driving through, when I graduated from here in 1993, all those buildings weren't here. I'll tell you those that whooped. I had to tell you a story. I'll switch back. My wife graduated from here in 95. I graduated in 93. We got three young kids we're raising up. My wife's on the alumni board. So needless to say, poor little Claire, my 11-year-old, Jonah, my 8-year-old, and Julia, my 8-year-old, they have no choice as long as they make better grades than their dad did. So a few weeks ago, months ago, I got invited. My chief of staff, who's been with me for a decade, she went to whatever that school is in Austin. I forget the name of it. And she had said, the president of that school really wants you to come have dinner with him. I thought, okay, I'll do that. I didn't know it was on campus. Well, even worse to it, we're sitting at dinner. And the governor's chief of staff, who's a good friend of mine, he was sitting across. It was the three of us. And Greg Finvis got up. He walked away. And I took out my phone, and I was taking a picture of the table. And Daniel across, he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm taking a picture of this plate. And he said, well, why are you taking a picture of this plate? And I said, because I'm going to send the picture of this plate to my wife. And he goes, well, why would you take a picture of this plate and send it to Dara, your wife? And I said, because this thing is God-awful burnt orange. And every time they bring another serving, I've got to look at this orange plate. And he goes, well, okay, but why are you sending it to Dara? I said, because I want her to know the sacrifices I make in serving the state of Texas. And so a few minutes later, my wife texts me, and I glanced down, and he smiled, and he said, what'd she say? And she said, bless your soul. That's awful. So, okay, back to the state economy. If you look at all of the growth here in Bryan College Station, I'll give you a couple statistics. For the state of Texas, we have had negative sales tax growth pretty much since June of 2015. If you go to May of 2015 had a positive sales tax growth compared to May of 2014. April of 2015 was higher than April of 2014. March was higher than March. You actually, from year over end, you had to go back 62 months from the last time we had a negative collection. Texas was on an unbelievable run for 5 months. And why sales tax? Because from a state perspective, as the Treasury, if you look at a glass in front of you, the top one-third of your state budget is federal dollars that we send and come back in some shape, form, or fashion for whether it's transportation, health care, education. The bottom two-thirds is your state funding sources. Of what we call general revenue, 54% of it is sales tax. So sales tax is the driver of your state budget, and that's why I talk about it all the time, because if it goes up, it goes down. That's what makes decisions of where funding is going to go in Austin. So go to June of 2015. We had a negative sales tax collection month. July, we went up. Next month, August, we went down. September, we went up. Then we hit October, and we went down for 5 months. We finally climbed back up slightly for two more months the next year, and then we went down for five again. Actually, December of last year, we had a positive collection in the state of Texas of 4.9%, which was the highest that we have had compared to December the year before, which is the highest that we've had since May of 15. Interestingly, when we close the books, because your state budget starts September 1 of every year and then runs through August of the next year, and that's one of our that's our fiscal year. When we close the books in August of last year, unlike the prior 20 years where Texas averaged 3.8% growth in our gross domestic product in the state, think about that, 3.8%. That far outpaces what the U.S. average has been. In fact, when we closed the books, we only grew 0.2%. We were talking earlier whether it's 0.2, S&P put out 0.3, it's put out 0.5. My folks, we put a little lower because we'd rather make sure it's higher than what we thought it's going to be, but the point being it was nowhere near the 0.3. We estimate that this current budget year, which ends in August, the state economy is going to grow at least 2.5%. Then in the next 2 years, it's going to go 3% and 3.1%. If you look at Bryan College Station, it's interesting. Bryan, in December of last year, had 2.4% continued growth in sales tax. College Station had 10.2%. If you look across the state, areas like the Permian Basin have significantly contracted. Corpus has contracted. Longview, Texas has contracted. City of Houston area has contracted. Actually, Houston itself, but the outer area, hasn't contracted as much. Where in the different areas the diverse economy has shown different degrees of being impacted. A couple things that I want to mention that I think is unbelievable. If you look at this region, whether it's just south to Grimes County, Washington County, back up through Brazos County, and go back up several counties for this 20-county economic region, out of the 12 in Texas, we have 12 different economic regions in Texas. If you look at this area, was not hit near as hard as the rest of the state when we had the last recession. Well, why was that? Well, if you look at it, it's pretty amazing to know that in Texas, only 10% of the jobs in Texas are government-based, which is pretty amazing, just 10%, whether it's local level, state level, federal level. But think about here in the Bryan College Station MSA, it's 30%, three times the state average. Give you a couple of numbers. In the last 10 years, the Bryan College Station MSA has grown 22% in population. Well, how does that compare to the state? What has the state average been? About 22%. Whereas what's the U.S. been? Try 6.8%. Think about this fact. When you woke up this morning, there were 600 people that lived in Texas that were not here yesterday just based on natural growth. So if this room was Texas, there'd be 600 more people standing up here just based on natural growth. That doesn't include anyone that moved in or moved out. Then you take on top of that when you woke up, besides the 600 sitting over here, there's another 600 over here, 650 that moved into the state last night while you were asleep. Think about that. 1,200 people in this state every single day, every morning when you wake up. Phenomenal growth, and that's one reason for me that I continue to talk about. Even time we look at a two-year state budget, we have to look at what we call the long-term balance sheet issues. In Texas, 2 years ago, Texas was the 12th largest economy in the world. When we had the contraction in the oil and gas industry and manufacturing, I was a little concerned. Were we still going to be the 12th largest economy in the world when we saw the data last year? To my surprise, no, we weren't the 12th largest anymore. Did we move up or did we move down? Actually, we moved up. We're no longer the 12th, now we're the 10th largest economy in the world. We moved over, we're already larger than Australia. I'll tell you, in fact, I met with the Australian, my counterpart from Australia here several months ago, and the Texan in me wanted to come out and just say, you know, Texas economy is bigger than Australia. But I decided not to be. I was very diplomatic. I did not. It's bigger than Spain, bigger than Mexico to our southern border. In fact, who did we, bigger than Korea, who did we move over? Canada. Texas is bigger now than the Canadian economy. And the last one, and I'll give you a hint about this, this country has been talked about in the media by every media station over and over for like the last 2 months. And if you can't figure it out, it starts with an R. Russia. Texas economy is now bigger than Russia. And every time I see Russia in the media over the last 2 months, I've been thinking, you know, they should be worried about Texas. Our economy is bigger than them. So what is the big threat here from Russia? Well, you know, we're blessed to have a good resource, and we're blessed to have that diversity. And I'll give you a couple of numbers that I think is pretty amazing. If you look at the Central Texas region, which is the 20-county region, income, personal income in the last decade has risen 44%. It used to be, just here in the Bryan College Station MSA, was $5 billion. Think about that. In this MSA, people took home pay $5 billion worth of income. That's an unbelievable amount. But in the last 10 years, because of that growth, now $9 billion. That is an unbelievable. How does that compare to the U.S.? In fact, in the last 10 years, personal income in the U.S. has gone up by 46%. In the region that you're in, it's grown by 60%. In the Texas, of course, it's been a little higher on average, 73%. But what has it been in the Bryan College Station MSA? Try 80%. That's unbelievable growth. And in part, I'll be proud to say, why is it? Part of it's thanks to Texas A&M University. Another reason that this area has weathered the storm in the economic region is there's a little thing just north of here called Fort Hood. And so those two anchors, interestingly, have been a significant anchor for this region and the demographic base. Now, I want to switch and mention one other thing real quick, and then if we have time for questions, I'm happy to take questions. There's a little thing in my office that, let's say, for example, when I was a student here, if I had a utility bill, which I did, and then if I moved, which I did, and I forgot to give my forwarding address, then I forgot to get back my utility deposit, then the utility company keeps it. And after about 5 years, then they turn it over to the treasurer for the state of Texas, i.e. who? Controller's office. Or let's say that if somebody has a bank account, they forget. I know you think they never forget to get all their money. That happens. Or they have a paycheck, and they moved and don't get their last portion of their paycheck. And I know you think that would never happen, and it does. Or maybe they were with a company, and they had stock options, and they left, and they didn't think they had stock options. They forgot about it. Same as one lady in Katy, Texas, called us and said, you know, I see my husband's name. What is this? Kind of explained, well, this is stock options from this company. Oh, yeah, he did have those. Well, what's it worth? $20,000. Ooh, that was a nice payday. So, in fact, could even be a safe deposit box. Legislature put me in charge 2 years of creating the Texas Gold Bullion Depository. One day I was driving to Austin. I thought, we should do a video about the bullion depository, and we need some gold. And I thought, you know, we've got some gold in our office. The Treasury, you should know, has a whopping $1.2 million worth of gold. Now, that's not much compared to the cash balances we have at any given moment of, you know, $20, $40 billion in cash that are paying the bills, or the $10.2 billion. Remember I said that economic stabilization account? The state savings account that had no money in it, first years when it was created? Today, because of the fracking boom, it has $10.2 billion. Actually, in 2 years from now, if I was back here and we were back here, we estimated it'll have $11.9. If you add up all the 50 states, Texas is roughly 23% of the fund balance for that savings account. So it has been very beneficial for Texas to weather any type of economic storm because we have a savings account where other states don't have that savings account. Go back to the gold. If people have a safe deposit box and they left some gold in there, and you think, who would? Actually, one person left a little gold bar. But that gold bar, I couldn't hold it up. It'd be like this. That gold bar, and if any one of you call tomorrow and say it's yours, I know it's not. Because that gold bar is worth about $250,000. Some people had some gold coins from South Africa. Another one had Mexican pesos. Another one had American gold eagles. And you added all that up. And this was pretty cool one day. I don't forget, what was it, Donald Duck McScrooge or something, the video of him jumping in the gold. I had $1.2 million in gold sitting on my desk one day. And we did a video, and my son was with me. And the staff went to put it all in the boxes to take back to the locker room. And I just said, please, wait. We need to inventory it. And they said, oh, no, sir, I know you're busy. We're going to do that later. And I said, no, you don't understand. Jonah Hager has been eyeing that gold. And to give you a quick story, and then I'll open up for questions, Jonah, it was the Christmas before, which was not long before. At school, they have a little school store where you can buy something. And so my wife gave each of the kids $5 and said, buy something for your siblings. So the girls, my oldest daughter, bought whatever for the twins, and she spent all $5. Jonah's twin sister, Julia, she spent the $5 for her two siblings, and she spent the $5. And then Jonah, my wife said, you ought to see his bag. And I said, okay, well, let me look into it. I looked in the bag, and there were two kind of, you know, cool-looking little pins. And she said, look on the bag. And I said, oh, they cost $2. I said, awesome, that's my son. He's a Hager. He saved $3. And she goes, oh, no, ask me what he did when he got home. And I said, okay, well, I'll play along. What did he do when he got home? And he said, he saw it's $3 difference, right? And I said, yeah, I mean, he gave you $3. She goes, no, he gave me a dollar. So I think my son's going to be a banker because he kept the other two. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Don't mean to offend any bankers. One, now I'm the tax collector. I'm offending bankers. I'm digging a big hole up here. Y'all will never invite me back. But, you know, if you think about the fact that Texas has that economic stabilization fund that distinguishes us from other states because we have a healthy balance and we have a revenue source that will allow us in these downturns, which is very significant. So if you look at the outlook for Texas, you look at the outlook for the Bryan-College Station MSA, if you look at the outlook for the central region of the state of Texas, and I'll give you one last statistic. Think about this. In the central Texas region, the personal income that was brought home in this 20-county region was $43 billion. Well, okay, what does that mean, Glenn? That's a big number. But what does that mean compared? Can you give me something to reference to? I tell you what, and don't take this as a hint, but if you were your own state as a 20-county region, from a personal income perspective, that would be bigger than Delaware. That'd be bigger than Alaska. It'd be bigger than North Dakota. It would actually be ranked as the 44th state in personal income out of the 50 states, which is pretty phenomenal. I like to tell people in different regions because each region is a huge piece to make up that 10th largest economy in the entire world. And it seems in the future, Texas is poised to return back to modest growth, but the Treasury is going to take a little while for us to see the receipts of what has happened in the downturn. It's going to be a little slower recovery for the Treasury. And then also, if you look at the region, is very poised. And then also, the Bryan-College Station looks like it's very poised to continue to grow into the future. So with that, I will stop. Thank you for getting me out of Austin. Thank you for letting me be here today. And if you have one, two quick questions, if we have time, if we don't have time, then I want to just say thank you for letting me be here, and may God bless you and God bless the great state of Texas. Thank you.